What's going on, comic fam? It's your boy, the Bearded Comic Bro, and I am joined again for another creator interview. I have Max Hoven and Aaron Crow, who are the writers behind It Eats What Feeds It. And I am so excited to have you guys a part of the show and having you guys on today. So thank you.
For sure. Thanks for having us on.
Yeah, absolutely. So real quick, I just like to always start these kind of interviews and just kind of find out, how did you guys get into comic creating?
Well, Max and I have been friends since high school, eventually after kind of drifting apart and going to different schools and everything like that, we got back together and we're writing screenplays and working on stories for a few years, and then kind of realized that we can have our own director and make our own sort of things if we do a comic, and we reached out to Gabriel and then came up with this story later on, and then have this out now as our first comic book. But we've been writing stories together for a while.
Nice. So what, like, I know, like you guys said, screenplays and stuff, like what type of other things have you guys been dabbling into before then you got into writing comics?
So in 2015 was when we really kind of buckled down, or at least I did, as far as collecting all kinds of random stories that I had come up with in the previous years, but never had actually solidified into any kind of tangible story. And then in 2016 and 2017 was really when Crow and I got together and tried to take the stories seriously and condense them. And our first project together was actually a movie called The Vine. And we actually, that actually had some decent success in the screenplay world. It was a quarter finalist in a few screenwriting contests. Mm-hmm. We got contacted by some producers and local filmmakers and things like that. And so we kind of then took everything else that we had as just kind of stupid ideas and tried to figure out which ones do we really want to like focus on and work on next. And over the next like 2018 and 2019, we pretty much just I think we fleshed out like three or four more scripts, and simultaneously, as some of those stories weren't as great as our first, at least critically, from the feedback we were getting, we decided to basically, this It Eats What Feeds It story was the first story we ever actually intended just to be a graphic novel. And sort of intentionally, like, some people who maybe aren't creators forget that it actually costs money and it takes a lot of time, and you have to pay artists. And so we couldn't just immediately be like, oh yeah, remember this epic story that lasts for centuries and has 30 characters? Let's start there. So almost anybody you listen to, or like Robert Kirkman especially, I remember like reading something he said where he's like, start with five panels, or, you know, just like if you're trying to get your talent out there or your expertise or whatever, you got to start small and you got to blow minds with as little as you can as possible. And that's really our intention, especially with this series, was like, this is our debut kind of story in the real world, especially in comics. So like, we're going to get the best artists we know. And Gabriel is someone we like searched out and didn't actually get right away. We didn't pitch him this story. We pitched him something else, different kind of short story. And whenever we didn't get him for that, we kind of pitched him other ideas as a possibility.
Okay.
And one of them was this one. And so then we fleshed out that story, and
it all ends up being a lot of trial and error, and we learn more from other stories and getting feedback about things, and then this one ends up being a nice tight package that's a true graphic novel, three issues in the store. But it's like getting to have Gabriel and see what he can bring to it and all the extra thing, it's just we didn't realize how incredible it would be having a comic, you know, after trying to do like screenplays and things like that. But right. It's just it's a whole another thing, and it's fun that it gets to be a nice tight story actually.
Well, it's interesting because I was going to ask you guys about how did you guys get connected with Gabriel, because the art that he does seems to just really complement the story that you guys are taking it. So like, it just seemed like a beautiful merging of the writing and the art. And it sounds like you guys kind of had the idea of reaching out to him and saying, hey, this is something. And until you guys kind of found something that you both were like, yeah, this meshes for what we're both wanting. Is that kind of.
Yeah. Yeah. We put a little, about 2 months probably into almost kind of looking at different artists and looking at art and taking things and kind of assembled a list of people that if we were lucky enough to, you know, be able to pitch or, you know, anybody that might be interested in, you know, working with us. And Gabriel is right at the top.
Yeah. We literally like kind of, months of basically going through the books we liked and then like getting as much, digital comics, trying to like just get a feel for the real high artists out there, right. You know, the names people recognize as we didn't rule out of our list. We were like, we can do anything we want, you know, we can find emails or whatever and we'll reach out to people. And Gabriel was really at the top, and we're like, we'll start at the top down. Like, what the worst thing that happens is they say no and we'll just move on to the next one. And you know, you don't want to start, I don't know, at the middle. We're just like, we're gonna start at the top, and then and Gabriel,
and like you said, we spoke with him, and we'd sort of earned his trust by pitching something that he was interested in, but it still wasn't necessarily a project he wanted to do. And then we kind of took in that he liked maybe having a supernatural story, and we worked on some things after that, and then we're able to have a much tighter project that he wanted to get involved in. And then through all that, like we make a great team. He's doing the next book with us that we're currently working on. That's a different project. It's incredible looking, and Gabriel's an amazing director, and what he brings to the swamp and the feeling, and he's able to show a lot of things that just almost feel like they float in the air. And even if that is a thickness of like anxiety or suspense that he somehow is able to draw, he's incredible.
Yeah. So to transition into that, then you guys were, how do you guys kind of take the lead with, I want to talk about the story here in just a second, but how do you guys kind of figure out like writing a story together? Like, does one of you kind of take the lead and then kind of pitch it? Or are you guys in the same room kind of just working on it at the same time? What's the process co-writing a story together?
It varies, but in general, especially with It Eats, it started out with basically Crow had this kind of random pitch that was the super condensed, like, what if you had a roommate that was hearing noises up, or you had a roommate and he was making weird noises upstairs and he was asking you to do weird things like slide raw meat into a slot on his door whenever he had to leave town out of nowhere. And we kind of then just like laughed about that. And then we also, at the same time, you know, we have multiple things in mind. We don't always start like this one and start out like, well, how do we want to expand on this story?
It's always talked. We always talk with each other.
Yeah, it starts out just back and forth. We don't pitch, yeah. And then one of us will kind of together. We'll kind of come out with like an outline that we'll just talk out, and then somebody will write that down, and then the next day one of us will come up with something even more detail, and then you do that a couple of times until finally like the outline is fleshed out enough to where you then can start actually writing dialogue, and basically like the step from page one all the way down, however you would call it, the actual typing of the story, but the discussing of what happens is mostly just back and forth through dialogue that we just do all the time.
Yeah, and it gets volleyballed back and forth once it's being written. It doesn't necessarily matter which one of us might do the first draft or anything. It's always then going back to the other one. And usually by the fact that we both like similar things and know each other and kind of have worked through all this together, and, you know, if one of us forgets something that we should, the other person might remember it. So it's like you get those new ideas and everything through the multiple drafts kind of going back between us. But it all always kind of starts as fun conversations that that we somehow turn into something that, you know, makes a little more sense in the long run.
Eventually, the script turns into highlighting certain things of, you know, different colors and sending them to Gabriel as he makes his, like, this, you know, we'll write dialogue that we know with Gabriel, like, we don't like multiple bubbles per panel. We don't like having too much dialogue throughout the pages. You see with this first and the second issue, especially if you read it, there's, we deliberately don't like too much dialogue. We like it kind of a smooth read. And he will notice, you know, like, we probably need to change where these bubbles go and things like that. So the whole, after he and I spend months writing something, at one, then Gabriel gets to it and actually starts sketching things, we then realize we have to make, you know, quite a few other changes.
And Gabriel have incredible ideas or have a small tweak that we didn't think of, and then we try to just always take everything in and package it all the best way. And, you know, it's a real balance of things, honestly. A lot of it comes through, yeah, being able to work together.
Well, it sounds like you have the relationship, you have that trust with each other, and then obviously now with Gabriel, that it kind of allows you that it's like, what if we do this? And you almost have like your own editing table, your own editing room, mm-hmm. right there, being able to bounce off ideas.
It's a good thing. Obviously, a lot of people write things themselves, but it is nice if you can say something and know that it's not going to ever be judged. It's sometimes you have to say the really dumb idea to make the other person then go, oh, well, you had half of it, now I have the rest.
Transitioning a little bit then into you, Max has said that, Crow, you kind of came up with the idea of like, what would you, if you just had this weird roommate, where did this kind of idea for the story kind of percolate from?
Well, yeah, like Max said, it had a different shape. We knew we wanted it to be contained and like kind of a one house throughout a lot of the story and have it all sort of be the suspense in that. Originally, I was kind of thinking that maybe you'd have somebody you didn't know, and we got a huge kick out of the slot idea that ended up being the mail slot and the attic door and each one feeds it. And but we just, yeah, something about that. And then we picked kind of a location and knew we were able to have a little more spookiness in the bayou, and everything kind of just starts building upon itself once you find out like, oh, well, I like this beginning kind of. And I don't know. It's like anything. It sprawls, but we knew we wanted to make something that was suspenseful and had some horror that it actually feels very familiar, but we kind of are trying to constantly keep you guessing and wondering what might be coming.
We definitely like, you know, the simple, people will say that about this story. Yeah, it's a really simple story. We like those kind of things. We just had a tone. It's like we want to focus on two characters, and it's a taboo romance mixed with your classic creepy house. And then we just kind of fine tune, well, what makes a really great creepy house, you know, and where would it be, and kind of just expand it upon there. And then the actual story itself, especially how you see it wrap up in issue 3, that actually comes with just playing around once we kind of established the tone that we were going for.
And there were changes made for the ending of the whole thing once we had a lot of art produced, and once we saw the tone that Gabriel did bring to things, and we knew that we needed to have a certain sort of occurrence almost in like the third one. It's just a bit of a tweak from like the very original script.
Yeah.
So, I mean, a lot of things just grow out of it. I mean, just seeing Gabriel's art changes how you realize, oh, this is a lot spookier than maybe we ever thought it could be.
With movies, you're always, although you, even though we don't have that much experience, you know, enough years, write enough movies and get enough feedback, talk to actual people, actually with people that make movies, you have to tone everything down to make it more simple, especially if you're trying to make it yourself on a low budget. So whenever we were writing comics, we forgot that like you can really do anything you want. You can make, not to give anything away, but you know, houses go completely crazy in a nonsensical way,
right.
And not have to like, well, you know, we can't film, you know, that much fire, you know, or that doesn't actually make sense in a, with gravity.
Right. You have that, you kind of have the play to do whatever you want because you can just create it in your minds, and Gabriel can just draw it.
And Gabriel can literally draw anything. Even though there's a language gap, we will describe things that don't make any real sense, and he'll grasp it. He'll be like, I can do that. And he really does it. We're just like, how does he know?
Where is he located then? You said there's a language gap.
He's in Brazil.
Okay.
Yeah, so he's doing us the very kind gesture of translating our emails, and probably he's putting in more of the effort on that end, and we thank him greatly for it.
That's awesome. So, well, how about we've kind of hinted around it a little bit. So, but if someone's watching this interview and for some reason they have not picked up a copy of It Eats What Feeds It yet, give them the viewer just like a short kind of pitch of what the story is about.
Okay, so It Eats What Feeds It is a grimy horror romance that is set in the mystic Louisiana Bayou. We're going to meet a high school graduate, Kenny, taking a job in a rather spooky Louisiana mansion. And the big kicker for him wanting it is that the woman is quite beautiful, and he's very interested in her, and he's going to ignore a lot of the sort of hidden danger, but it's not even all that hidden. It feels like it's smacking you in the face the whole time, and you're gonna see how this sort of layering in this kinky romance almost happens that you don't know what might come. It might be monsters, and I don't think anybody maybe knows what Francois is up to until the third issue possibly. So
I mean, I've read the first two issues and I still don't know what she's up to yet, so.
I saw you have them on the shelf there.
I do.
They look great. You got the Raphael Albuquerque one too, with the pig head. We love that one.
Yeah. So I've been doing the Scout subscription box. So the last 2 months, July, and I was able to get that variant in my box. So I was pretty excited about that. So.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's gorgeous. So yeah. So, I mean, I definitely think everybody, if you hadn't seen it, go pick up issue one. And I think you're going to want to check out issue two. And I know if you read issue two, you're probably going to want to see what happens in the finale. There's definitely a bit of a cliffhanger to things, but everything's going to get sprawled out for you and find out what Francois's doing.
So, yeah, that's a great, I mean, obviously you guys wrote it, so you can tell it better than I can. So I'm like, that's a great description of, so how has it been the response for you guys? Like people talking about the book, the feedback and stuff. Have you guys, because it sounds like what I've read on the internet, like it's been getting great reviews and feedback from it. Is that this kind of same thing that you guys have been experiencing? Or
I think it's been pretty overwhelmingly positive. And even those that weren't entirely positive, you know, some that you might consider negative, still said they understood why people liked it or thought that it was written well, even though they might not like the story or thought it was slow or something like that. But for the most part, it seems like people are really taken to it.
It's it's been exciting to see the response, because we knew the first issue is gonna set the ball on a tee for everybody. It's an absolute setup for it, and there is the slight risk of maybe people thinking it's slow or they maybe wanted a little more. And you know, instead the first issue sold out, and we get to have a reprint. So people definitely liked it. Maybe, we're going to pick up more people, hopefully, as we go.
We were actually not necessarily nervous, but we kind of thought that the first issue is definitely like, you know, if you once reading the second and third issues, they definitely pack a lot more. And so the first one was kind of like the mellow, even though it's kind of a hard open, it's still kind of just like, it sets, like you said, puts the ball on the tee or whatever. It doesn't really, even though it does have like that ending where you're like, what? You know, and it does kind of like mirror itself. Whenever people started reading it and being like, man, like, you know, can't wait to see what happens next or whatever, like a really great opener, we're like, okay, it worked, you know. We weren't really sure that would happen. We thought people might just be like, man, you know, nothing really happened. Yeah, a kid shows up to a house. Yeah, that's
it. And then to keep going with that, a lot of it is people like yourself. You know, anybody that's helped us be able to get things out there. And it really is cool to get feedback from review sites or see people on Twitter or whatever saying they like it and things. It's really cool when other creators in the comic industry that we reached out to said they liked it and things like that. So it's almost maybe more than expected, but we're very thankful for the praise we have gotten.
It's interesting how you guys both have said like that you're worried about it maybe being a little too slow of a start, but I mean you have enough in there that it that first issue that catches you. And you know, I reach out to Max to say, hey, you guys want to talk about it? Before I even got to read issue two, I just got that last night. So I was like, yes, this is great. Which is good, because it would have been really awkward if it wasn't good.
Well, thanks.
But I think what issue one really allows you guys to do is to set the stage of where you're going to be taking it in two and three. And it, there's enough, you get those, that relationship that, you know, kind of like, what's going on here? But it gives you enough to develop the characters, which I think it was very well done from that aspect. So, and you guys said it's going to a second printing already.
Yeah, there's a second print. I guess the best way would be, yeah, hopefully your store ordered some. I think the period just passed, but there's going to be some on the shelves. I think September 2nd, I believe, and it's a variant by Gabriel that's gorgeous. So I mean, honestly, it's worth it for that, because it's pretty cool looking, even if you had it. And then the second one's going to be out this August as well. So it's all going to be here pretty soon, folks.
The third issue, I think, is releasing the week of Halloween, so we're actually excited about that, even though there's kind of a month delay. But we think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I guess Diamond's catching up with all the back orders and everything, and it looks like we have an extra month. But I think, okay. Yeah, October 28th, so it'll be the coolest Halloween we've ever had.
That's awesome. So has the stuff that's been going on in the world with COVID and stuff, has that kind of affected you guys with this release of this book, or how you guys were originally planning on it? Or
I'm pretty sure it has, but we can't really tell since it's our first book. So, you know, we're actually just, you know, we've already like surpassed the barriers. We really, you know, we were going into this, you know, knowing that we're just trying to get our names out there. We definitely weren't expecting to really like, get as many reviews as we had, or have people really, you know, people will still message us and say that they like fans just out of nowhere. We weren't really expecting that.
There was the delay. Our book was set up to have, I think our first issue was in the previews world right before COVID shut things down pretty much. So
we sort of lucked out on that though, because we weren't,
We thankfully didn't have anything out already and then hit the delay, which definitely I think would have done something. So we had the delay, and then like you said, for numbers, it's our first one. So yeah, who knows for us, and everything happened with DC splitting and doing things, and who knows, there's maybe a different sort of number of books at stores right now and less stores. So it's everybody's seeing what happens, I guess.
Scout did their own distribution for the first issue, so stores were still able to get it even faster, even though, because they like decided to do that whenever Diamond was on like an indefinite delay. But they ended up bringing it back within like a month or something like that. So really, because our first, I think it really only kind of messed us up, because we were trying to get the pre-orders in April, and then there was this 2 month delay of whenever it would actually release, and so we didn't have really any time to promote issue one until it was almost like about to come out. But there were other creators who had already had multiple books out, and then they're trying to bring back the, you know, the hype that they had already started months prior. So for us, it was kind of like, it really didn't do a whole lot to our whole campaign.
You've said it multiple times that you're concluding the story in with a 3-issue arc here, so it's going to be done. Is this kind of, do you feel like this is it for this world? Do you guys see more stories branching off of this world? Or like, this is what we wanted it to do, now let's move on to other projects? It sounds like you guys are already working on some other stuff already too.
Yeah, we're working on something else. It's not in the It Eats universe. Okay. But there, we already know that if we did more with it eats, we know what it is.
Okay.
You probably would call it a prequel to the story that you're watching right now. But it's just something that's in a in an outline to where we know if if there's enough demand and everything like that, we definitely can put out some more for it.
Nice. We actually, if for those who are like real fans of the book and like know that, so the characters like in issue two, basically we have a story of like, once all this story resolves, like how did we get to even like that beginning? There's kind of like an even more epic story of all that. And you'll see, especially like the way issue three resolves, that it if there was enough demand, I'm sure a lot of people would really enjoy the other parts of the story we kind of have in our heads.
Yeah, and issue three definitely wraps up this actual segment of the story, but I you're gonna be wondering some things about what else is out there in the bayou, and like Max said, what led to all this. So that would be the project for more at each.
And so you guys are in the process of now of something completely different. Is that something that you guys are allowed to talk about at all, or?
Oh, we could talk about it and just not say names and whatnot.
Yeah, I think it's
the big difference is, so if anybody were anxious or wanted more issues, you know, wanted It Eats to be a traditional five or something, you're going to be a lot happier, I guess, that what we're working on now will be a very big book.
It could be an ongoing series, and we have the whole first arc written.
And when Gabriel's already doing a lot of the actual art, so we're looking at having a lot of it probably finished closer towards the end of this year, and then working on it next year, and then hopefully putting out an ongoing series.
One thing that I think is kind of funny is, so like the first story that we pitched to Gabriel, although he liked the story, he was like, it's too dark. He's like, I've already kind of done things like in the horror realm that are, you know, too violent or whatever. And we were like, okay. And then we have this more lighthearted, almost like romance or supernatural thing. And he was on that. And then this process worked out so well, we were like, well, now we have the most insane, dark, ridiculous, epic story anybody has ever seen. And he was like, I'm in now. I really excited to do it. And we're even more excited about this next story than we were with It Eats, because it's just so hardcore, off the wall. It's definitely what we can say about it is that it is a cyberpunk action story.
You said it the other day. The next book is, if you'd like the movies and know them, it's The Raid meets Temple of Doom.
From the Indiana Jones series. Redemption.
That's how I would describe
it. In the universe of the Temple of Doom from the second Indiana Jones.
That's a great pitch to sell it right there. I'm there for it.
Hopefully that'll get steam and we'll be able to put out that whole thing in the coming years probably.
That's awesome. Well, I don't want to take up too much more of your guys' time. I'm grateful for you guys sitting down and just talking about comics here with me a little bit. But where can people find you to kind of follow along with what you guys are doing if they got hooked into this series and they want to just make sure they're keeping tabs on what you guys are up to?
Okay. Was the website just.com?
Yeah, we have a website that's just called hovencrow.com. No spaces or anything. That's H-O-V as in Victor, E-N-C-R-O-W.com. And that's just our general kind of, it's almost like a portfolio, but it's also got the links to all our books and stuff like that. But also, Crow's very active on Twitter.
And that's at Aaron, A-A-R-O-N-P, as in the letter, and then Crow. So Aaron P. Crow, and you're Lord Max Hoven, I think.
I'm at Lord Max Hoven on virtually everything, although I rarely post on Twitter. I just, for some reason, I don't know what it is about maybe the world in general where it's like, I don't want to step on any toes, but I just like, and I don't want to just toot my own horn all the time. Like another thing about my book. So it's just like, I don't really post on there. On Facebook, I can at least just like poke pictures of my cat or something like that.
And then the other thing I'd say, anybody that's watching this, if I believe that Raphael cover over your shoulder will be on the Scout website in another week or two or something along those lines. So if you don't follow me on Twitter or Max on Facebook, you can definitely be checking the scoutcomics.com website and getting some of the books through there, even if you don't have a local store and things.
Yeah, that is one thing I will say I've appreciated, because I definitely found, you know, when I got connected through Scout, because I found that through reading White Ash and started checking out more of Scout Comics books, and that you can get a lot of the what they produce at their website. So if for, you know, and, you know, the subscription box was a great kind of stepping stone if you want to kind of just test to see what there is out there. But yeah, that's a great cover. And I like how they do different variant covers that you can get sometimes in their store. Mm-hmm. So that's awesome. So everything that they said, all the links to the website, will be in the description of this video and stuff like that. So, Max, Aaron, thank you guys so much again. It's just been always fun to just kind of see how the sauce gets made, right? You know, just kind of see what you guys are, how you guys get into creating. And I appreciate you just taking the time, to talk with me about it. So.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us on. You know, we're going to keep making stories, so, you know, we'll come back on sometime if you'll have us.
I will. Trust me, anytime you guys put out stuff and you guys want to talk, I'm more than happy to have a conversation. So with that being said, I hope if you guys are watching this now that you can find some time to curl up, grab a book, and nerd out. Peace.